Greetings, humans. You have entered the Command Zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
How's it, everybody? Welcome back to the latest episode of the Command Zone. I'm your host, Josh Lee Quiet, and I'm here with a very special guest. I'm here with Adam Savadan from Loading Ready Run.
Hi, friends. How you doing?
So if you follow us on Twitter or our social media, you probably know that Adam is going to be a guest on the next episode of Game Nights. And we haven't really talked about it on the show yet, but we're going to be playing with the new legendary creatures from Guilds of Ravnica.
Yeah.
Adam, who did you build your deck around?
I build my deck around Izoni the Thousand-Eyed.
Yeah, so a Golgari tokeny
graveyard
kind
of deck, yeah. With a sack outlet tied in. Yeah.
Sounds right up your alley.
Yeah, it very much is, yes. I'm very excited.
So we're going to be breaking down Adam's deck, and we don't do this very often. This is going to be before that episode comes out, so you're going to know sort of more about Adam's deck when watching Game Nights than you will about the rest of us, probably.
Yes.
Which is cool. I wish I was doing my deck so they could be rooting for me, because I feel like now they're going to be rooting for you. Before we get into all of that, we got to give a big shout out to our sponsor. It's Card Kingdom. You know, Adam, Loading Ready Run is also sponsored by Card Kingdom.
Sure are, yes.
So you have a lot of experience with them.
They're very, very good.
Yeah.
Like every time we get feedback, it is exactly, I can't believe they were so fast.
Yeah, that's exactly. We get tweeted that constantly. Like, I ordered this on Monday. It shipped out 15 minutes after I ordered it, and it's Tuesday, and it's already here or whatever. Yeah. Card Kingdom is the fastest shipping in the business. And if you use our affiliate link when you order cards, magic products, singles, anything at all, you really are supporting Command Zone and Game Nights. That affiliate link is cardkingdom.com/commandzone. So we appreciate everybody that does that. And something else that is of very high value and pretty cool, and you're probably going to want to get your hands on, especially for this set, because they've done the playmats with all the new Shockland art on it. In fact, you have the Golgari one in front of you. There's a lot of cards on it.
It's very nice.
It's pretty sweet. It's Ultra Pro. It's stuff by Ultra Pro. We're talking sleeves. Oh, the new sleeves. Holy crap.
Yeah.
The new sleeves that have the guild symbol on it.
Oh,
in
so
fact,
rad.
We've got it right here. This is the Golgari one because he's playing the Golgari deck. But they have the sleeves for every guild. So if you have an Azorius deck or a Rakdos deck, I just love these things. And this is using the new Eclipse technology, meaning that they are very durable. Printed sleeves in the past have been known to sort of split and tear real easily. These ones don't. They last for a very long time. So Ultra Pro always up in their game.
I mean, I've obviously been shuffling this deck, and it feels good.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, they still feel great. So very, very cool. And the final way to support all of our content is directly. If you go to patreon.com/commandzone, you can contribute, and you get to do things like see Game Nights before anybody else. So you'll be seeing this deck in action before the general public if you are a patron. And another benefit is we call out one lucky patron every single episode, and this episode is dedicated to
Dustin Nice.
Dustin, you rock. Okay, before we get into the main topic, Adam, let's talk a little bit about, your involvement with the Magic community.
Okay.
You know, what you do. You do a lot of content.
Yeah, it's just started recently. I mean, I'm about 4 months in of like full-time content creation.
Mm-hmm.
And
but you've been involved with Loading Ready Run and streaming for a few years.
But not like I haven't dedicated to it.
You did what I did.
I dove
right in full-time. Yeah.
And I do work with Loading Ready Run, and we do the pre-release, which happens every new set.
Oh, yeah. When is the Guilds of Ravnica pre-release?
It is September 19th.
Okay, so I don't know when this episode is coming out exactly. If you're listening to this or watching this, it could be either before or after September 19th.
Yeah.
But if it is before September 19th, you should watch that pre-release on Loading Ready Run's YouTube. Oh, sorry, their Twitch channel.
Yes.
And then it will be posted
on
the YouTube channel afterwards. And I often, if I can't catch it on the day, we'll watch it later.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that you've won the whole thing at this point.
I have an okay record at them.
Yeah,
I did pretty
the
well
last
for myself.
One you
yeah,
crushed.
I smashed everybody. Yeah. it wasn't even remotely close.
Loading Ready Run does great stuff, and it's another way to get a look at the set in the sealed environment before anybody else.
Yeah.
Sorry, and moving on to your Twitch stuff?
Yes, I stream on Twitch 9 a.m. to about 1 or 2 in the afternoon Pacific Standard Time. So it's at twitch.tv/cbats, which is S-E-A-B-A-T-S.
And that's that time, is that every single day?
It's Monday to Friday.
Oh, it's every day
every
of the
morning.
Week.
Every morning of the week, I am there 9 a.m. on the dot.
What kind of stuff are you playing?
I love roguelikes. So anything that's like high difficulty. So Dark Souls, Bloodborne. I did all of, I mean, someone, there's someone out there who will understand how hard this was, but I S-ranked all of Cuphead.
Okay, which I have no idea what that
incredible
means.
It was very hard. It took
you,
me a long time.
You like to crank up the difficulty to 11.
Like four or five hours on a single level kind of thing. Yeah, so yeah, I crank it up. Even if the game's not that hard, I'll try to make something.
Oh, like stipulation?
Yeah, usually if I'm getting bored.
How very loading ready run of you.
Stipulations are our thing. So.
And you might also recognize Adam because recently you've also been on Friday nights.
Yes, I'm on Friday nights now.
Yeah, so which is very cool.
I'm not 100% sure if I'm a regular member yet because I can't say. I don't know. They haven't told me, but I've been in a couple episodes. It's been a lot of fun to do. And I'm looking forward to do more.
I'm pretty sure you're a regular episode. I mean, regular on the episodes. Okay. Yeah. All right, well, let's get down to business here. Let's talk about this Azoni Thousand-Eyed deck. Let's read Azoni really quick, just for those. It's a new card. May not have heard about it yet. It's 2 black, black, green, green. That's 6 mana total. For a 2/3 Elf Shaman, it has one of the new mechanics from Guilds of Ravnica on it, which is Undergrowth. And it says, when Azoni Thousand-Eyed enters the battlefield, create a 1/1 black and green insect token for each creature card in your graveyard.
Yep.
So the Undergrowth as a mechanic cares about creatures in your graveyard.
Yes.
And they all have different, all the Undergrowth cards have sort of different effects, but it's always like count up the amount of creatures in your graveyard. This one gives you 1/1 tokens for it. But then Azoni also has a second ability, an activated ability. It says, you pay a green and a black, sacrifice another creature, and then you gain 1 life and draw a card. And this is, Azoni doesn't have to tap or anything. So as many times as you have green and black, you can sacrifice one of your creatures, gain a life and draw a card. Presumably you're sacrificing the tokens, but.
Yeah, it just synergizes with itself. Like it's just a good card on its own.
This has card draw on it, so I already like it.
Yeah.
And it's doing graveyard shenanigans, which is cool.
Yeah.
So when you saw this card, you know, generally, what did you think about it?
I thought it was awesome. I mean, it's right in the wheelhouse of stuff I want to do. Like, I love churning through my, either even just, it lets me sacrifice creatures for value because my commander is always on deck to come and play, and then I get 1/1s out of it, and then I can use those 1/1s to sacrifice to the commander to draw cards and gain life. I love the, like, it's a threat just on its own. Like, it works so well with any kind of pump effect because if I'm making, even, worst case scenario, like if I'm only making 2 tokens, like I still think that's pretty good.
Yeah, and that's really modest, right? Like, likely.
That's worst case scenario. Yeah. That's like.
Likely, Azoni's coming out at some points in the game and making 10 plus tokens. Oh, like, it's not that hard to throw creatures into your bin. They don't have to die, they can be thrown directly there. In fact, the first category we're going to talk about of cards in your deck is get stuff in my graveyard.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of effects in the deck that really the goal is to just fill the bin with creatures so that Azoni makes as many insect tokens as possible.
Yes.
Okay, so let's talk about, we have both Lilianas listed. There are more than 2 Lilianas, there are more, Adam. Yeah, so which 2 do we mean?
So I'll specify. So you can't just say 2 Lilianas. Like, it doesn't work like that.
Both of them,
you know, the 2 best ones. And they're not even the 2 best ones.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't see the 2 best ones out here.
Yeah, so Liliana, Heretical Healer.
Oh, right, that's
takes a little bit of work.
That's the flip one.
The flip Planeswalker from Magic Origins.
Right, right.
She takes a little bit of work, but there are sac outlets. I mean, the commander is a sac outlet, and there are a couple others to help get her going. And even if you just block with like a 1/1 or something and it dies, and then you can flip her. Oh, I guess it's non-token, sorry. So you just block with one of your value creatures, like Yavimaya Elder or Secure
Tribe Elder. Is a really good one.
Yeah.
You can play that on turn 2, Liliana on turn 3, then sack this Steve. That'd be a little bit, like, you usually want to stack Steve right away, but if you had this in your hand, you would probably do that. Yeah. So Liliana, Heretical Healer, I'm just going to broad strokes in case you aren't aware of what the card is. It's a 2/3 with lifelink, but it says if a creature, non-token creature you control dies, then you exile Liliana and return to the battlefield transformed, and you get a 2/2 zombie. Transformed on the other side is a Planeswalker, and the Planeswalker has a plus ability that makes everybody discard a card, a minus ability that reanimates stuff out of your graveyard, and the ultimate doesn't matter. That's not really what she's doing.
Yeah, we're never gonna ultimate anyway. Like, I would just keep discarding, to be honest.
Yeah, so the plus is really interesting here because you're making everybody discard cards, including yourself.
Yes.
But that's
canned. But that's good.
This right, because you want creatures in your yard.
Yeah, I just want creatures in my yard. And even there's other stuff in the deck that really benefits from even creatures being in my yard. There's a Varals, the Scar Stripe. So he gives every one of my creature cards scavenge.
So now you can basically sort of use them for value out of your yard. Yeah, there's probably a bunch of stuff in here that like actually wants to be in the graveyard.
Yes, there's all kinds.
Liliana works perfectly. What's the second Liliana?
The second Liliana is Liliana Death's Majesty from Amonkhet.
Yeah. She's getting fanned by zombies.
Yeah, so she has a plus one that says create a 2/2 black zombie creature token and then put the top two cards of your library into your graveyard.
So you make a token and self-mill.
Yes, and then she has a -3 ability that lets me bring back any creature from my graveyard. It becomes a zombie in addition to its other types.
So both Lilianas not only put things into your yard, but can get them back out.
Yes.
So that's great.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's exactly what this deck wants to do. Mm-hmm. And then I just have, role players like Grizzly Salvage.
Yeah, that's a card we haven't talked about a ton on the show. Do you want to read it?
Yes. It's green and a black for an instant, and it's reveal the top five cards of your library. You may put a creature or land card from among them into your hand. Put the rest into your graveyard.
So this is great. You can keep a good, one of the good things that maybe you can cast or something that's like lower on the curve and then dump the rest into the graveyard for Izzoni or for value. I like Grizzly Salvage because it's an instant.
Yeah.
So it allows you to hold it open and maybe you've got like a removal spell that you might use if they attack you. But if they don't, you then Grizzly Salvage still, you don't waste that mana for the turn.
It's that flexibility, right?
Yeah, like, super
good. You never want to just leave up mana with a removal spell. Like, that's just such a waste of your time.
Because if you don't use it, well, then you feel like you have to use it.
Yeah, then you're like, oh, okay, well, everybody's passed. I guess I'd kill that.
I don't waste the mana for the turn. Yeah, it feels like, bad. So it's good to have multiple options.
And I also have Grapple with the Past in the deck. And that's one in a green for an instant, again. Put the top three cards of your library in your graveyard. Then you may return a creature or land card from your graveyard to your hand. So it's not even one of the ones that this mills. It's any of the cards that are in my graveyard, so I get a better selection of what's going on.
So if you Death's Majesty, say, a couple times, and then you Grizzly Salvage, and then you Grapple with the Past,
I get a bigger selection.
You have a huge selection of, you just bring in the best thing, or the, when I say best, it could just be the thing that fits the situation right now.
Yeah, because there's a lot of situational cards in this deck, and I like having, when I was building it, I wanted selection and resiliency, and that gives me both.
And again, an instant, which is so much better than a sorcery on those type of effects.
Yeah.
Because it feels bad to just do something that only fills your yard unless
you get something out of it.
Like, you're doing it at an instant speed, right?
I don't want to have a card that just puts stuff in my graveyard.
Right.
Yeah.
You want to be it brings a card back or
So
Westvale Abbey's an interesting one too. I didn't really think about this one. It's a land. It taps for diamond or colorless mana. You can pay 5 and pay a life, and then it will make a 1/1 white and black human cleric token. Or you can pay 5 and sacrifice 5 creatures, transform Westvale Abbey, and untap it. And it becomes Ormondal, who's a 9/7 flying indestructible
trample
lifelink.
Yeah.
Something like that. I'm too lazy to flip the card over right now. But it becomes an unbeatable demon.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to beat. I wouldn't say unbeatable, but
there's still things. Cyclonic Rift still works.
Yeah, it still works. Surprise.
But it's, you mentioned something which was you can sacrifice non-token creatures to it. And in this deck,
that helps it.
It could be good. It could be just fine to do that because creature cards in graveyards are something Izzoni wants.
Yes.
So that would...
Because it's like, even if I sack a real creature to Westvale Abbey, Grapple from the Past brings something back. Liliana's Death Majesty can just... I can play her in -3. Like, it's not the worst.
Right.
And she still has 2 of loyalty left over. Like, she's still on the board and she's still a threat.
Right.
Even with a -3.
So you're not even that worried. It's not like, oh, I get 1/1 with a creature or I lose one of my creatures.
Yeah.
So many ways to bring it back. Not that big a deal.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you've got a couple new cards from guilds here. These are exciting. Let's talk about these.
I am very excited. This next card is perfect in this deck. It is absurd. I want to say absurd.
This card is pretty good. Yeah. It's pretty sweet.
Okay, so it's called Underrealm Lich. It's 3 black green for a 4/3.
Okay.
It's a creature, zombie, elf, shaman construct.
It's not a construct. Thopter. It's not a thopter.
Yeah.
Servo.
So the text reads, if you would draw a card, instead look at the top 3 cards of your library. Then put 1 into your hand and the rest into your graveyard. You don't have to reveal it.
It's so good.
I put two just extra that. Cards. Yeah. You don't have to reveal it.
Just that. This card is really good, right?
Yeah.
Just, it go. So many things. So yeah. It goes, first of all, you're picking the best of one of
there's
three cards.
There's more text, yeah. Too, by the way.
First of all, you're picking the best of three cards rather than one card. That's yeah. just, that's just amazing.
It's just awesome. And it's anytime I draw a card.
Yeah.
So if I draw a card off my commander, I draw three. I look at three.
Yeah. If somebody, yeah, exactly. If you play any kind of card draw type spell, for each of those cards, you're drawing three first, picking one and putting, and then putting the other two into the graveyard. That's so much better. These effects almost always say on the bottom of your library.
Yeah.
Stuff in your graveyard is way more accessible to you than the bottom of the library stuff. So, yeah. And in this deck specifically, it cares about creatures and graveyards. And a lot of these cards like do stuff when they're in the graveyard anyway. Yeah, this card's ridiculous. Yeah. And we're not done.
We're not done. There's a little bit more. So there's a second line that says, pay for life. Underrealm Lich gains indestructible until end of turn. Tap it.
It's hard to kill.
It can block.
Because the first thing I'm thinking is like 5-mana, 4-3 creature. Yeah. It's a good ability, but it's unlikely to stick around. Except it protects itself.
Yes.
Like pretty well.
Pretty well. At the low cost of 4 life. But my commander gains me life and draws me cards.
4 life? Who cares? Yeah. Like, would you pay 4 life to protect your Rhystic Study? I mean, that's kind of like what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Yeah. That card seems like a must go in all Golgari decks now, basically. Yeah. Okay, and this next one's sweet too.
Yeah. It just gets better. Okay, so
this is not better than the last one.
No.
Yeah, but it's still good.
It's still pretty good. So this is another new card.
Yep.
It's called Doom Whisperer. It's 3BB for a 6/6 flying trample. It's a nightmare demon.
It's a 5-mana 6/6 flample.
Yep.
That's already decent. Not we wouldn't necessarily play that in Commander just because of that.
Yeah. I'm a limited head, so I'm like, oh my god, that's unbeatable.
Yeah, unlimited. This is ridiculous. But but the second ability is what kind of it's okay. Yeah, go ahead.
So the second ability reads pay 2 life, surveil 2.
Surveil 2. So surveil is a new mechanic from Guilds of Ravnica. Also, it's very much like Scry. The way surveil reads is look at the top 2 cards of your library. That's 2 because this is Surveil 2. If it was Surveil 1, you'd look at the top card of your library.
Yeah.
Or Surveil 3, look at the top 3. So Surveil 2, look at the top 2 cards of your library, then put any number of them into your graveyard and the rest on the top of your library in any order. So it's basically Scry, except for instead of bottom of library, you can choose to make it go into the graveyard.
It's just like it keeps getting better.
It's so good. And it's pay 2 life. This is Grizzlebrand-ish. Not as good.
Not as good. Yeah.
But I mean, like, that's
Surveil 2 is a real ability.
Grizzlebrand's banned. So if you're being compared to Grizzlebrand, you're pretty good. Grizzlebrand's also banned because he's legendary. But yeah, Surveil 2 is great. Yeah. I mean, it's hard not to, even if you play it and they go to remove it right away and you're just like, I pay 4 life and mill 4, at least you got some sort of value at it. You don't just get blown out of the water.
And you don't even have to put them in your graveyard. You can just look at 2 cards, decide if you want to keep one. And then if not, worst case scenario, 2 cards go in your graveyard.
Yeah.
And that's not even bad case in a lot of things.
A lot of things you're like, oh, sweet. Now I'm going to get this, you know, this was 4 cards down.
Yeah.
I'm going to draw that next turn and I got 2 more creature cards in my graveyard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like, it keeps getting better.
I really like it.
And then I have like 2 like edge case, I guess, cards getting things in the graveyard.
Well, I really liked how it's interesting that in different decks you'll sort of use cards you wouldn't use in other decks. So for instance, in this case, we talked about how your deck doesn't care so much if you lose creatures.
Yeah.
So you're way more open to effects that have a cost of sacrificing a creature.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what these are.
Yeah. So I'm running Eldritch Evolution.
Mm-hmm.
It's 1GG for a sorcery. As an additional cost to cast Eldritch Evolution, sacrifice a creature. And then I can search my library for a creature card with converted mana cost X or less, where X is 2 plus the sacrifice creature's converted mana cost. Put that card onto the battlefield, shuffle my library, exile Eldritch Evolution.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
So you sack a 2-drop, you can get a 4-drop. 4-drop gets a 6-drop or less. This is a great card.
Yeah.
This is, and it's only 2 mana?
3 mana.
3 mana, okay.
At a sorcery speed.
Yeah, still good.
Still good.
I like it. The other one is Diabolic Intent. It's 1BB for a sorcery. It's Diabolic Tutor, but you have to, as an additional cost to cast, or sorry, it's Demonic Tutor, but as an additional cost to cast, you have to sacrifice a creature. So you search your library for a card, put it into your hand, and then shuffle your library. This is borderline, could be, in some instances in the deck, better than Demonic Tutor because you kind of get an additional benefit.
Yeah.
Sometimes,
Sometimes.
Not, but sometimes it could be. And having two demonic tutors in the deck,
I mean,
is not bad.
The worst case scenario is you give up a token. Like
yeah.
A one.
Yeah. Well, that's not the worst case scenario. But
well, you could lowest return, I
yeah.
should say.
Yeah.
Lowest return scenario.
I mean, you might have to once in a while be like, well, I'll sacrifice a real creature here, but I'm going to go get like the best card for me right now.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was the get stuff in your graveyard category. Now, after you've got stuff in your graveyard,
yep.
presumably a bunch of creatures in there, you're yep. going to want to cast a Zoni or in some other way make a bunch of tokens.
Yes.
That's the next category. Make a bunch of tokens.
Yeah.
So a Zoni herself, himself?
Herself.
Herself does this. Count again, when she comes into play, you count the number of creature cards in your graveyard and you get that many 1/1 insects.
Mm-hmm.
But good deck building is to have a bunch of things that do the effect you want to do, because there's going to be times maybe where maybe you don't have a lot of stuff in your graveyard. Maybe this first part of the plan, it just didn't come together in this game or whatever.
Yeah.
Or somebody's killed a Zoni a couple times and she's too expensive. You can't cast her right now, but you still want to make a bunch of tokens. So you have a few other token makers in the deck.
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about that.
I'm a huge fan of Sapperling Migration.
Uh-huh.
Just because of the flexibility.
Yeah.
Like if I need it on turn two, that's completely fine, and if nobody's like pressuring me, which is usually isn't the case in Commander games, but if you're not being pressured, you can hang on to it until turn five,
right?
So turn six, sorry.
Go ahead, read it.
Yeah, so it's one and a green for a sorcery, and it has kicker four, and kicker means that you can pay it when you're paying the cost for the spell. You can add on the kicker, and I create 2/1/1 green Saproling creature tokens.
Wait, how'd you say that?
Saproling? Is it Saproling?
Yep.
Okay, Saproling.
Maybe that's how they say it in Canada.
It might be how they say it in Canada. I don't know why I said it like that. I usually always say
Sapperling.
You knew Sapperling.
How to say
yeah.
it because you immediately said, is it?
Yeah, it's Sapperling. Weird. No, man. It was just, you know what I mean? Maybe I got nervous.
Yeah,
I
maybe.
I freaked out. My brain just misfired. It was like, it's Saproling, you moron. And then
make sure you say it right. Saproling. Oh, crap.
The look on your face.
I was like, hold on. We got to stop here. I just want to hear you. I thought we were going to have an argument. You're like, this is how you say it. But you're immediately like, it's Saproling.
Yeah, no, it's Saproling. Sorry.
Okay.
Everyone can relax. Saproling.
We're back on the rails. We're fine. Okay.
Create 2/1/1 green Saproling creature tokens. If this spell was kicked, create four instead.
So for two, you get two. For six mana, you get four.
Yes.
Yeah. This seems like, actually, in this instance, something you're going to do for two more often.
Yeah, more often than not.
Yeah, just to get something out early, get a presence early. Yeah. And then you've got a creature for Liliana to help flip, or you've got some, you know, something to work with
Liliana
your Diabolic.
Well, doesn't flip off the token.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Well, so. Something for your Diabolic Intent or something for, well, we'll talk.
Eldritch Evolution. Like if I go, you know, like Sapperling, I mean, that doesn't really help either.
It gives you a two drop.
Which is fine, because there's Mana Ramp in the deck. So it's like, it's not...
Secure Tribe Elders is a pretty good card to get, honestly.
Yeah.
So, especially in this deck. Okay, so let's talk about... this is another card from... what was the set called? It's called Dominaria.
Yep. Are you talking about Tendershoot?
Yeah, I'm talking about Slimefoot.
Oh, okay.
The Stowaway.
Yeah, he... I mean, I only benefit... from usually the Saprolings that he makes.
Right.
And then off migration. So it's not like I'm trying to play that synergy really well. I just wanted something that I could sink mana into.
Right.
If I needed it.
And I think that's important in deck building, right? So let me read him. He's 1 green/black for a 2/3 fungus legendary creature. I've seen some Slimefoot decks. They're pretty good, actually. Mm-hmm. Whenever a Saproling you control dies, Slimefoot deals 1 damage to each opponent and you gain 1 life. So it has a Blood Artist type of effect on it, but only for Saprolings dying. But also you can pay 4 mana and create a 1/1 green Saproling creature token.
Yeah.
And you again, you don't tap Slimefoot or anything. So as many times as you have 4 mana, you can make a Saproling. This is, like you said, a good way if you end up with a ton of mana or mana you can't use, you can start making Saprolings. It's not the most efficient thing, but it's better than just wasting the mana. And again, you know, if you've got opponents that are at low life
it does
and a
something.
Sack outlet, you might be able to just get the last 4 damage this way or something.
And like it works with like Growing Rites, Hit Lamok, right? Like that's my deck and that just gives me, it kind of fuels, they work together.
Right.
So it's like Slimefoot gives me creatures to flip It Lamok and then It Lamok lets me spend mana to make more creatures.
And which makes It Lamok tap for even more mana and you can get in this snowball-y effect where like I'm tapping for 27 and I'm making six
it's
dudes.
Easy to break up. Like he's a 2/3. He's not invincible.
Right.
But it's still something that I like decks that say, you need to deal with this. Even if it's just a 2/3, you need to waste some mana
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it'll sort of run away with it. It's grindy. I like it. This next one is quicker to do its thing.
It's so good in Commander.
It's ridiculous in Commander. Yeah. It's If
do you think is it too expensive? Like,
it's a little expensive, but I think for what it does, because let's read it.
Okay, so Tendershoot Dryad is 4 and a green for a creature Dryad, and it has Ascent. So if you control 10 or more permanents, you get the City's Blessing for the rest of the game. At the beginning of each upkeep, create a 1/1 green Sapperling creature token.
Mm-hmm.
Saplings you control get +2/+2 as long as you have the City's Blessing. And it's a 2/2 itself. So, but it doesn't buff itself or anything.
Right. So let's consider this. You've got 5 mana out. Let's say all you've got is 5 mana.
Yeah.
You play Tendershoot Dryad.
Mm-hmm.
That's your 6 permanent. You pass the turn to Jimmy. It makes a Sapling. That's your 7th. Goes to Josh's turn. Eight. That's your 8th. Goes to Mel's turn. That's your 9th. Comes back to your turn. That's 10. You have City's Blessing. Now they're all 3/3s, the Sapperlings. So there's not very many scenarios where Tendershoot doesn't immediately hit the Ascend thing in Commander.
Yeah.
If you're only playing with 3 players, maybe not. But again, that's assuming you have no other permanents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I did lie saying that the only thing that Slimefoot worked with was this, but it also works with the Tendershoot.
Paying 4 mana to make a 3/3 is a lot better than paying 4 mana to make a 1/1. So these two in combination. But this gets out of control super fast. If you make it, if it doesn't die and it comes back to your turn.
Oh, yeah.
You're in really good shape in that game because they would have killed it if they could. And now you're going to make a 3/3 on everybody's turn for 0 mana.
Even, you know what? Even if it gets killed, let's say it goes to Jimmy and he does nothing. Okay, it goes to Josh. You don't do anything. And then Mel untaps, kills it.
Yeah.
They still spent mana. I got 2 1/1s out of it, which helped fuel things in my deck.
Yeah.
It's not the worst case scenario. Yeah.
Yeah. But a lot of times,
really, I just like resilient cards. Like, it's just stuff I get benefit out of no matter what happens.
Even if you kill it, I got something left.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like that one. You've got, here's another Planeswalker.
Yep.
This is the plant one.
You want to read this one?
This is Nissa, Voice of Zendikar. This is the 3-mana Nissa, 1 green-green for the 3 loyalty Planeswalker. You can +1 her and make an 0/1 plant creature token. You can -2 her. Put a 1/1 counter on each creature you control, and at -7, her ultimate, you gain X life and draw X cards, where X is the number of lands you control.
Yeah,
that part's like fine. If you get there, you'd probably do it, but
it's the minus. You're probably gonna
plus and then minus, plus and then minus, and then.
I mean, there's times where she hits the board and you -2, and then you just kill somebody.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Tendershoot Dryad was out for a couple turns.
Or Creekwood Liege is what we'll get to it. But there's other creatures that have been out for a turn or two.
Or even like you cast a Zoni last turn and got 12 insects, and now you put Nissa out, and now they're all 2/2s. That's a lot.
Yeah, oops, whoops.
Oops, whoops.
You know, like
oops, whoops, you're dead.
Yeah, like I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. It's like emoji shrug. Like,
What do you think? What do you want me to do?
Yeah. Like, I can. What do you want me to do? Not attack?
Well, speaking of the Avenger of Zendi.
Yeah.
The big boy.
The chicken Zendis.
Chicken Zendis. I like chicken Zendis.
Yeah.
All right. Everybody's favorite 5/5.
Yeah.
I feel like I've seen this on the battlefield so much recently. I think it's because of that Lord Windgrace Jund Lands Matter deck.
Oh.
I feel like I just keep seeing Avenger of Zendikar. I'm just always about to be killed by plant tokens. Yeah. Narrowly averted every time, but still. Okay, let's read it. I'll read it real quick. 5 green-green for a 5/5. When it enters the battlefield, you get a 0/1 plant for each land you control, and then it has landfall. Whenever land ETBs for you, you can put a 1/1 counter on all your plants. So what people usually do is play this, make like 7 0/1 plants, and then play their land drop, and now they got 7 1/2s.
Or they play a fetch land.
Yeah, play a fetch land, like, get 2. Or they've saved their fetch lands for that moment, and then they go fetch land, activate my Myriad Landscape, Evolving Wilds, and put 4 counters on all my tokens.
Woof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they go Concordant Crossroads, attack you with everything.
And then you're dead.
Yeah.
That's a pretty quick way to end a game. Yeah.
I mean, Avenger, if set up correctly, can just end the game. But you're really looking to just make a bunch of tokens.
Yeah, I'm just looking for bodies. Yeah. I don't even care that much about the landfall, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. This deck is just like, that is a way, that's nice. If I get to untap and like I get a landfall trigger, like I'm cool. But
yeah, you're not going to turn it down. Or Nissa comes out and +1s. But that's the main goal of the deck is just get a bunch of stuff. It's not necessarily, attacking is one of the ways it can use that stuff, but it's not the only way.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the last creature in the make a bunch of tokens category.
Yeah, it's a Creekwood Liege from Lorwyn. or something.
From
like
one of the Shadow Moon Master sets, Eventide? As far as I know.
Master sets? Okay. Yeah. So it's one Golgari, so the hybrid mana cost.
Four mana total.
It's a creature horror. It says, other black creatures you control get +1/+1. Other green creatures you control get +1/+1. At the beginning of your upkeep, you may put a 1/1 black and green worm creature token onto the battlefield.
So it pumps tokens and it makes tokens.
What's black and green in a token?
Yeah, that's the thing. Izzoni makes 1/1 green and black insect tokens.
Yeah.
And what that means is Creekwood Leech pumps those tokens +2/+2.
Yeah.
So it turns all of Izzoni's tokens into 3/3s.
Makes it a Tender Shoot Dread.
Yeah, except for that Izzoni can bring in 12 all at once or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you've done
this is like a Tender Shoot mini, like it on my upkeep, I get a 3/3
right
out of this thing, so.
Yeah, it's like one per rotation.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really good card with Izzoni. It seems pretty good. Okay, so we put a bunch of stuff in our yard. We've made a bunch of tokens, and the next category is profit.
Yes.
So now we take advantage of all this work that we've done. You've got a couple different strategies that are basically like, all right, I did all this stuff. Now how do I win with it?
Okay. So the preferred way to win is just kill everybody at the table with a Blood Artist effect.
Yeah, it's aristocrat style.
Aristocrat style. So a Blood Artist is named after, the Blood Artist effect is named after Blood Artist. And Blood Artist is one in a black for a creature vampire. Whenever Blood Artist or another creature dies, target player loses one life and you gain one life. So I am trying to hold on and I don't want to play Blood Artist early in this deck.
Right.
You want to, ideally, because there's tutors in the deck, I can tutor for the pieces I need that I'm missing. And I want to slam a Blood Artist and then like a Sac Outlet together.
Right.
On the same turn and then probably drain one person out and just get whoever's the most threatening at the table.
Right. So like Eldritch Evolution on a token, we'll get a 2-drop, put Blood Artist into play.
Yeah.
And that's one way to get out there. And at that point, presumably you wouldn't do it unless you have a bunch of tokens and a way to sacrifice them and then drain somebody out. Yeah. You've got, so the other in the deck, the other aristocrat style effects are Falcon Wrath Noble, Zulaport Cutthroat, Poison Tip Archer is sort of a newish one from M19.
And this one's kind of cute because it's whenever another creature dies for Poison Tip Archer. So if somebody wraths, like everybody.
Well, Blood Artist is that too.
Yeah.
It's whenever.
Well, it's target player.
That's each opponent, right.
So if somebody, this is like, you need to have targeted removal for this. You can't just hope, because I'll have all these tokens, right? So you want to use like a single removal spell. I'm like, cool, yeah, I'll take that trade.
And everybody loses, you know. Like,
but it's like if somebody wraths and I have a Poison Tip and I have a bunch of tokens, I'm like, sure.
Yeah, everybody take 20.
Everyone take 20. And
Zulaport only cares about your creature specifically dying, but it also drains each opponent.
Yes.
Falcon Wrath Noble is basically exactly Blood Artist as far as the wording, but it just
costs. And it flies.
Yeah, but it costs more.
Because it needed to fly, right? It's like, what can we do to make this better?
Make it cost 2 more mana and give it flying.
Yeah.
So, okay.
I've got some more here.
Here's a card that is on the list. Where'd it go? I thought we pulled it. Oh my gosh. Oh, found it. Whew. Okay. Nobody panic. Everything's under control. This is a card that I think is a little underrated in Commander. And it's ironic because it was made for a Commander set. I think because the blue one, Mystic Confluence, is so good.
Isn't the red one really good too?
The red one's really good in Legacy.
Okay.
And it's okay in Commander. But I think this one suffers from just that comparison, even though it's not as good as the blue one, but it's super flexible and gives you a lot of options. It's Wretched Confluence. It's 3 black for an instant. It says choose 3. And you may choose the same mode more than once. So target player draws a card and loses a life. Target creature gets -2/-2 until end of turn, and then return target creature card from your graveyard to your hand.
Yep.
So you get to do any of those 3 times or two, you know, one of those things twice and the other one once, or each one of those thing 1 time can sort of kill a creature, draw a card, get a creature from your graveyard to your hand, blah, blah, blah. You said, you know, this with like Underrealm Lich.
Yeah.
It's 9 cards. Unbelievable. You look at 9 cards, choose 3 of them, put the other 6 into your graveyard.
Yeah.
Boy.
That's great.
That seems good.
Yeah, that's real good.
This card just
even by on its own. I think that card's good.
Yeah, just by itself, it's good. You could draw a couple cards and get a creature back from your graveyard or kill something and draw a card. Yeah, I think
it's instant speed. Like you can hold that and Grizzly Salvage in your hand, and if they don't do anything that you're worried about, either you draw a card. Like even this in its own. Like, yeah, they don't have to kill something with it. I just draw three and lose three life.
Yeah, basically we were saying if you had a removal spell and one of these things that fills your yard and they're both instant speed and you're waiting to see if you need the removal spell, and if they don't, then you do the other thing. That card has it all at one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really like that.
Yeah. And so, then also payoffs are cards like Butcher of Malakir,
mm-hmm,
which is, I mean, it's 5BB for a 5/4 flyer. It's a creature vampire warrior.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever Butcher of Malakir or another creature you control dies, each opponent sacrifices a creature.
And then the companion to this is Dictate of Erebos, which is also in the deck, which is a enchantment, 3BB with flash. And it says the same thing. Whenever a creature you control dies, each opponent sacrifices a creature.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're using your tokens. You're basically sacrificing your tokens to make them sacrifice creatures.
Yeah.
Presumably, you have way more creatures than they do.
Yes.
And now you just... These are the kind of cards that, like, Voltron decks or decks that rely on a few powerful creatures just cannot beat.
No.
Because they can never stick anything on the board.
Yeah. It's like, I want to put a lock on the game. After I've built this board state and I get to the point where people don't want to attack me because I've just got so much going on, I want to wait and then either, like, swing out at somebody or wait for a wrath or something. Somebody drops a wrath and I just dictate in response. It's like, all right.
I mean, depends on the wrath, because a lot of times that's killing all the creatures already.
Yeah, that's true.
But if it's like a small one or something like that.
Yeah.
I like the Flash on Dictate is actually really underrated, because it's the type of card that when it hits the table, people are going to have to do something about. And mm-hmm, it costs enough mana that sometimes, like Izzoni, for instance, costs a green and a black to sacrifice a creature. And if that's your sacrifice outlet, you might only be able to have like one onboard sac.
Yes.
But if you flash and dictate on your instep, now you untap.
No.
And now I have all my mana available for Izzoni to sacrifice creatures, draw cards, make it rail sacrifice creatures. Yeah. And that's a much bigger threat. So I like the flash on it a lot.
Well, I like it too because I put two other sac outlets in the deck that are just no cost.
Mm-hmm.
So first I've got Varol's the Scarstriped I mentioned before. He's 1BG for a 2/2. And he's a legendary creature troll warrior. And he reads, each creature card in my graveyard has scavenge.
Mm-hmm.
The scavenge cost is equal to its mana cost. And scavenge means when it's a creature card's in the graveyard, you can exile this creature and you from your graveyard. And you put a number of +1/+1 counters on
target creature.
Yeah, target creature equal to the card's power.
So let's say you have a 2/2 in your yard and it costs 2 mana. Yep. If Varol's is out, you pay 2 mana, exile that 2/2 from your yard and put 2+1/+1 counters onto target creature.
Yeah.
It basically turns your creatures in your yard into pump spells.
Yeah.
Or like,
well, it's sorcery. You can only do it sorcery.
Yeah, speed, yeah, so. You're right. Yeah. It's not tricks. It's like enchantments.
Yeah. But I mean, like, you'd think that it's counterproductive to, or counterintuitive to what I want to do with Izzoni. But I mean, in a perfect world, I can't. Sometimes I'm not going to have the chance to like recast. Like maybe Izzoni costs 12 mana at this point.
You right.
know? And I don't want to recast her. Now or I have maybe all these creatures.
Got like 28 creatures and, you know, yeah, 20 yeah. creatures in there. And there's not a big difference between 19 and 20. So you're just going to pump the thing for some other effect. I think you probably wouldn't play Varol's except for the second ability.
Yeah.
Sort of puts it over the top. Like just the scavenge thing is
it's
not
like fine.
Enough.
Yeah, that's
but
not
that's,
what I'm...
That's kind of the gravy almost of the card, right? Yeah. So the second ability...
The second ability reads, sacrifice another creature, regenerate Varol's Scarstriped.
So... Yes, you can sacrifice it to regenerate Varol's. You can also just sacrifice the creature... Because you want to sacrifice creatures and you don't, Varol's isn't dying or anything, but that's a way to sacrifice creatures. Yeah. So when Blood Artist, Falconwrath Noble, Poison Tip Archer, Zulbar Cutthroat are out,
mm-hmm.
now all of a sudden.
Yeah, that's like.
That gives me a free way to sacrifice myself or Dictate of Erebos.
Yeah, and it gives me an ability just to like lock my opponents out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
You're not allowed to play Magic anymore. That's it. I'm sorry. Like, I hate
hey,
to
only
do
if
it.
They got creatures, man.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I guess the creatureless decks. But I mean, like, this is the thing I was saying earlier where. I want to have, like, I'm not scared to, like, put something like Varol's on the board and then make all this stuff and then wait until my opponents are, like, kind of shields down or something, and then I slam Blood Artist, and I'm like, duk, 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 or even slam Poison Tip Archer, which is even better, and just duk, 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 start sacrificing all these creatures, and then everyone's like, wow, we just lost, like, 10 life. Like,
yeah, all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty cool. Well, you can also have multiple of the Aristocrat stuff out, so if you got Zulaport and Poison Tip Archer or something, then and,
I mean,
then they're pretty cheap, especially, like, Zulaport. And Varol's on the same turn is not, like, it's hard not, to do.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, Varol's, and then Yeheni fills the same role as Varol's. Yeheni's a 2BB for a 2/2, and he has haste.
They have haste.
They have haste. Whenever a creature an opponent controls dies, put a +1/+1 counter on Yeheni. And then I can sacrifice another creature. Yeheni gains indestructible.
I like that one a lot because it protects itself. So does the regenerate, but yeah. Indestructible is a little better than regenerate in general. Yeah, yeah, I like that. Okay. What's another cool interaction you have? Well, or sorry, a way to profit. And I think you don't want to forget that one of the categories in this deck is make a bunch of tokens.
Yeah.
One of the ways to profit from having a bunch of tokens is to bash people in the face with said tokens.
What's the best way to bash people in the face with tokens?
You hoof them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. There's no way I could have, like, left this card out of this deck, right?
There's many cards that sort of fill this role. This is kind of the best of them, but you could choose between Triumph of the Hordes or Beastmaster Ascension or other things. But Crater of Behemoth is the go-to. It's 5 green, green, green. So 8 mana total for a 5/5. Beast has haste when Craterhoof enters the battlefield. Creatures you control gain trample and +X/+X until end of turn, where X is the number of creatures you control. So if you got 10 creatures, Craterhoof will come in and make them all +11/+11 and trample.
Yep.
That is
that's the way to end of the game.
My guess is that Craterhoof Behemoth in Commander has probably ended as many games as any other single card.
You think so?
Probably probably more than most other cards.
The highest percentage of ended games is like.
I mean,
played on Modo or Magic Online, because they can keep track of which cards end games.
It would probably be the top in Commander.
Do you think like top 10% of games? Like, is that a big number? You don't think it's 10%?
No, probably not that high. Yeah. But I'm just saying in relation to other cards.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of cards that end, when they come out, they end games. But this one just tends to come up a lot.
This needs things. This doesn't just end it on its own.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that's sort of the main thrust of what the deck's trying to do, right?
Yeah.
Fill the graveyard, get a bunch of tokens, and then do some cool stuff with either some fancy dancy stuff with creatures.
Like Magic players like to get cute.
Yeah, exactly. Or sometimes you can just pump your stuff and win that way. But, you know, one of the fun things about building a deck is that there are like these other cool little things that can happen. And you don't build your deck expecting them to, but you have these little interactions that are possible.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this one. This is one you told me and I was like, oh, I never even thought about it.
Yeah.
You have to have what we call the nut draw, which is like you have to naturally kind of draw these cards early.
Yeah.
But if you get this out, this is pretty sweet.
Okay, so what you want to have happen is turn two, you call him Steve. I've never had anybody call
Sakura Tribe Elder. Well, right. STE Steve.
Oh, STE. Okay, I got it.
Okay, yeah.
So one and a green for a 1/1. He's a creature snake shaman. And you can sacrifice Sakura Tribe Elder and search your library for a basic land card. Put that card onto the battlefield tapped, then shuffle your library. Pretty good.
Really good.
Puts a creature in my yard, gets me a land, ramps me.
I mean, this is one of the top most played green cards in the format. It's probably like third or something.
And I think this card is good no matter what.
This next card?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's really good with Steve.
If I go turn two Steve into turn three Journey to Eternity,
yeah.
It's one black green for a legendary enchantment aura. It says, enchant creature you control. When enchanted creature dies, return it to the battlefield under my control, then return Journey to Eternity to the battlefield transformed under my control.
So Journey to Eternity flips over. Steve comes back out.
Yeah.
And Journey to Eternity is Atzal, Cave of Eternity, which is a legendary land that taps for one mana of any color. So think of the amount of ramp you had there. You sacrificed Steve. Mm-hmm. That got you a land. But then Steve came back in, and this turned into a land. So you're already two lands up, and then Steve can be sacked again. So you're three lands up.
Yeah, and I can bring back Steve.
Yeah, and then that. So what Atzal's activated ability is you pay three black green and then tap Atzal and return target creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield. So you can stack Steve again, and now you've got five mana and Atzal. And the next turn, you could bring Steve back out onto the battlefield.
Yeah, and sack him again.
That is insanity.
Yeah, right?
That is a crazy combo. Yeah. I want to do that.
I want to do that too. Like real bad. I want my opponents to be like, oh no.
What is going on?
Yeah. And it's not like you can't, it's hard to interact with too, right? Like
right.
The only time you have to interact with it, and normally commander games, like people aren't holding up mana on turn. Like if I'm going first,
right,
and it's my turn three, people have two mana left. Like usually.
They don't just sit there holding it with answers. Generally. Yeah. Generally. So there's that moment when you go to enchant Steve,
yeah,
and they can try to remove Steve. Even in that case,
I still get
you can sack Steve, and you got 1/1. You lost the Journey to Eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Okay. No word yet on whether that's going to happen in game nights, but I hope it doesn't.
Well, come on.
Hey, listen, you're my opponent. You're my opponent in that game. Sorry, man.
You don't want to be the receiving end of this?
It's cool and I want to see it happen, but I want to see it happen for you when you're playing someone else.
Okay, that's fair.
Okay. Yeah.
I respect your decision.
Here's another cool interaction that's in the deck. And I, again, I, you know, this is something that when you talk about it, I'm like, oh, yeah. But I never really thought about Court of Calling.
So, yeah, since I'm going to have so many tokens.
Right.
I put Court of Calling in my deck.
Yeah.
Because I have, like, Blood Artists that I can tutor for, Sack Outlets I have to tutor for. But also, I can find other things.
Right.
And Court of Calling reads, it's X, green, green, green. It's an instant. It's important. It has Convoke.
Very important, too.
Yeah. Convoke. So
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
You can tap your creatures to add mana for the X or the green if they're green creatures in this spell. Yeah.
So search your library for a creature card with converted mana cost X or less and put it on the battlefield, then shuffle my library.
So you tutor for a creature into play.
Yes.
And then that's obviously very good, right? Craterhoof, like you said, Blood Artist. But we all think of those uses for it. But you have a card in here. It's very popular, sees a lot of play, but getting it with Court of Calling to, let me rewind. One of the things about token decks that sort of make them vulnerable is they have to commit a lot to the board.
Yeah.
And so we always want ways in our decks to, or in our token decks specifically, to protect our board state from wraths and things like that. And so this is a really interesting way to protect you because what would you go get with Court of Calling, let's say, if I was like Wrath of God?
Wrath of God, I would Court of Calling for 5. So that's 8 mana. It's a lot.
Well, if you have a couple of untapped creatures, it could be way less than 5.
True. But I mean, same 5. I'm committing, you know, maybe 5 creatures and 3 lands.
Not bad. But still, yeah.
So I would grab Sidisi Undead Vizier, who is a 3 black black for a 4/6 death touch, who has Exploit. So Exploit reads, when this creature enters the battlefield, I may sacrifice a creature. And when Sidisi Undead Vizier exploits a creature, you may search your library for a card, put it into your hand, and then shuffle your library.
So she demonic tutors.
Yeah. And I would grab Heroic Intervention.
Right. So Heroic Intervention reads?
It's 1 and a green for an instant. Permanents you control gain hexproof and indestructible until end of turn.
And now my Wrath of God destroys nothing.
Yep.
And all you did was have to sacrifice a creature. Sidisi can't even sacrifice herself if you need to, although if she's your only creature, you probably aren't worried about protecting your board and probably aren't doing this. Yeah.
There's another one. Though.
There's another one. Yeah.
This is my favorite one.
This is another one.
What I always want to do with this deck. These three cards in conjunction.
So this is a little more offensive-minded. It's not quite saving
board. Well, no, it saves my board. Well, I mean, it doesn't save the tokens, but...
Well, it's not saving your
board.
It
gives me everything.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Oh,
this is offensive-minded. This is like, I'm going to turn that board wipe into something that was really bad for you. So this is a new card from Battle Bond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's great. I think this is a very good card.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially in this instance. So in this instance, you would... Okay, here we go. Thrilling Encore. 4 and a black for an instant. Put onto the battlefield under your control all creature cards in all graveyards that were put there from the battlefield this turn. So somebody wipes... You Court of Calling for Sidisi, get Thrilling Encore, cast it.
Yeah.
Because again, Sidisi can sacrifice herself,
cast
it, and now everything that died that turn to that wrath is on the battlefield on your side.
Yep.
Including your opponent's stuff.
Yep. It also if I have this in my hand and I end of someone's the turn before me, flash in Dictate of Erebos.
Oh yeah.
Sacrifice and then
sack
all my stuff. If I have enough mana, but I mean like I'd probably untap.
Right.
And then I would sack all my stuff, and make everyone sack all their creatures.
And then be like,
Thrilling Encore, I get all your stuff. Right?
Yes, I want to do that too.
Yeah.
I want to do that too. Yeah. I want to do all this stuff.
Yeah.
seems pretty cool. There's some cards in here that you chose to put in that were, you know, I thought really smart.
Yeah.
And
I love this card so much.
Yeah, and it's perfect in this deck. So it's, I'm always reiterating this to our audience, this type of thought process. So Adam has Thrashing Brontodon in his deck, which is 1 green green for a dino. It's a 3/4. And you pay 1 and sacrifice it and destroy target artifact or enchantment.
Yep.
Now, it's very easy to just put all the usual suspects into your deck as far as, like, you know, I don't know, Acidic Slimes and Reclamation Sage. Yeah, Abrupt Decays and stuff like that. But Adam's going, well, can I get that effect on something that synergizes with something I'm already doing? So now Brontodon is a creature that's going to destroy an enchantment but go to your graveyard.
Yeah.
And you want creatures in your graveyard because of Azoni. So this, you get your single targeted removal artifact enchantment stuff on a body that goes to the graveyard, can be reanimated because you've got a lot of stuff like that. And it's just way more synergistic than just putting in a sorcery or something that would do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that thought process a lot.
Yeah. I think I would just, even just me as a player, I would put a card like this, even if I wasn't worrying about cards in my, or creature cards in my graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
Just because like a 3-mana 3/4 is a real good rate. It blocks a lot of stuff. It stops any early aggression and then it just pays off later. Because enchantments are like, they feel like the strongest thing, or one of the strongest things you can do in Commander.
They are. They're hardest to remove.
The hardest to remove. Yeah. And having that attached to a creature that I can just attack and block with, like I can still kill somebody with this thing. You know, you can't really kill someone with a Rexage. Like you can, but a 2/1.
It's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, but if you're in a blink deck, then you want the Rexage.
Yeah.
Because it can't blink a Thrashing Brontodon. True. So it's just like tailoring your choice of how you have those effects. Like everybody wants something that can destroy artifacts and enchantments.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, I got instants, I got sorceries, I got, you know, creatures, I got, you know, whatever that can do that. And so it's just making sure that you choose the right type of effects that synergize with everything else that you're doing.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to wrap up here, but we wanted to highlight some of the new cards from Guilds of Ravnica that you chose to put into this deck.
Yes.
Every Golgari deck ever plays this card now. This is probably the best Golgari card in Commander.
It feels like every time I read it, I'm like, this feels wrong.
Like, what text am I missing? I must be missing a downside or something.
Yeah.
So it's a path to decay, path to abrupt decay. I don't know.
Yeah.
Assassin's Trophy, black and a green for an instant. Destroy target permanent and opponent controls. Target permanent.
Anything.
And then its controller may search their library for a basic land, put it onto battlefield, then shuffle their library. So it's path to exile, but it doesn't exile, but it can get any target permanent. It destroys it. This card's amazing.
Yeah.
Answers anything.
Flip Journey to Eternity.
Yeah.
It's answered.
Gets a land, it gets an enchantment, gets an artifact, planeswalker, creature. The only thing it can't deal with, I guess, is indestructible stuff.
Yeah.
But that seems...
I guess that's the downside, the unwritten downside.
It's like, 2 mana.
Yeah.
Like, what the heck?
Yeah.
That card is ridiculous.
And it's instant, too. Like, it's not even a sort. You'd think, like, oh, sorcery. Okay.
No, they just pushed it in every category. Yeah, that card is really good. Get your hands on as many of those as you can.
That's going to be playable.
That's modern, Legacy, everything, right?
It's everything.
Yeah. Maybe not Legacy. Yeah. Don't talk about Legacy, Josh. You don't know anything about it. Okay.
Okay.
Here's another one of the new cards.
I like this card a lot, and I really want to see how it performs.
Yeah. Like, did you kind of put it in as almost an experiment?
Yeah, because it's like, well, maybe it's the same thought process as Thrashing Brontodon.
Right.
Because it's Crawl Harpooner.
Okay.
It's 1 and a green for a 3/2 reach.
Okay.
I would play that. I mean, this is the drafter in me coming out.
You wouldn't play that in Commander,
You wouldn't play that in Commander. It has Undergrowth. When Crawl Harpooner enters the battlefield, choose up to one target creature with flying you don't control. Crawl Harpooner gets +X/+0 until end of turn, where X is the number of creature cards in your graveyard. Then you may have Crawl Harpooner fight that creature.
So it's a removal spell for a flyer on a creature.
I mean, and this deck is weak to flyers.
Yeah, and it might fight it and die and then go to your graveyard too. And
yeah.
And you're already filling your grave with creatures on purpose.
That's what I'm figuring will happen, is it's just going to enter. It's going to, you know, even if I only have one creature, like it kills a 4-toughness flyer and then goes to the graveyard, and then Azoni has something and there you go. Yeah, maybe I just pick off like a Thopter, you know?
Yeah,
pick off a Thopter and then just swing. Attack for
six. It has to have haste, but
well, it has to have haste, but...
This next card is going in a lot of green decks.
Yeah.
It's Beast Whisperer. You have two Whispers.
I got two Whispers.
You have a Doom and a Beast Whisperer.
No Dog Whisperer. Cat Whisperer.
It's 2 green/green for a 2/3 Elf Druid. It says, very simple, whenever you cast a creature spell, draw a card.
Horse Whisperer. That's I couldn't think of that. It's like, what animal is the Whisperer? It's not the dog or the cat.
Is that Matt? That's Matt Damon, right? Or he's in that movie?
He's in that movie.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry. Okay, so. Right.
This is whenever you cast a creature, spell, draw a card. How many creatures are in this deck? Like
33.
Okay.
I counted before. When I was deciding which new cards to put in.
Yeah.
I was like, I counted. I was like, oh,
how many creatures do I have? Yeah, when you're like, do I put this in or not?
Yeah.
I think anything over like 26 or 27, you probably can play this card. And there's a lot of decks in the format that play green and have 26 or more creatures.
Yeah.
This card is just value.
It's
good. You don't even have to pay any mana. It's
it just happens.
Just half of Zendikar Resurgent.
Yeah.
This is sweet. I'm excited to play that card in a lot of decks myself.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's your deck, Adam.
Yep.
Let me just wish you good luck on the upcoming game nights.
Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, good luck, but not the best luck.
Yeah. Not
Josh Lee Kwai luck.
No. Not Josh Lee Kwai luck. I don't think anybody has that kind of luck, do they? Is that, is that a barometer?
Jimmy doesn't. Yeah, Jimmy does. Draw a land, yeah.
It depends who you ask.
Huh?
It depends who you ask.
I guess so.
Luck is in the eye of the beholder.
That's right. I'd rather be lucky than good.
That is a thing.
In my
experience,
there's no such thing as luck.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of other luck quotes.
Oh,
that's it. That was the only one.
Winners write the history is a big one for me. Because it's like, you're not lucky, you were good.
Yeah, that's right.
I won, so I get to write the history of that game. I'm going to be the one telling the story.
I happen to like that quote myself.
Yeah.
Okay, to the listeners. What new commander from Guilds of Ravnica are you the most excited about building around?
Yeah.
Yeah, I really want to hear, you know, which... There's a bunch, and there's, you know, a couple of them from each guild, or maybe one or two guilds only has one, but still a bunch of cool stuff to choose from. Which one do you think is the most exciting? We'd love to hear from you. And if you like this deck that Adam has laid out today, you should go to cardkingdom.com/commandzone to order these singles and other accoutrement to go along with it. If you use that affiliate link when you order that stuff, you really are supporting Game Nights, this show, and all of our content. And if you're going to build a Golgari deck, you should probably get Golgari sleeves. There's also Izzet, Rakdos, Azorius, all the guilds. Ultra Pro has these. I don't know why it took so long to come out with sleeves that were so simple. They just have the guild symbol on it in the colors. Yeah, that's all I want. I don't need like a bunch of...
I don't need...
Yeah, exactly. Much. This is awesome. And you don't even have to build a Golgari deck around the new Golgari commander. You could build a Marin deck and still want to have it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet. So, and again,
it's cool, a little bit of extra identity for your deck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And again, they are the new Eclipse technology, so much more durable than printed sleeves in the past. Highly recommend checking those out. Supporting Ultra Pro, again, supports this show. All right.
Of course, like you also mentioned, like if you go and buy this version of this deck, which I would be very flattered if you just straight copied this deck, but also if you want to make some changes, I would like to see what you would have done. It'd be interesting.
That's another to the listeners. If you can think of any upgrades or changes to the deck, we're going to have the deck list in the show notes. Go ahead and shout out to Adam. Although at the time he's hearing it, it will be too late for it to help him.
It'll be too
in
late.
The game night
but
showdown.
I think I might be going forward like with this.
Yeah.
Like this deck and try to tune it. And
tune it up. And then, so I might run into it again
in
the future. A more tuned version I crush it on game nights, which
it'll
I assume
like
is what
from,
will happen.
It'll be from like, this is the human, this is the human RoboCop version of the deck. And you're going to run into the RoboCop
Jeez, that's scary, actually.
So watch out.
Okay.
For the RoboCop version of this, this deck.
All right. Now it's time for the end step where we talk about something cool outside the world of Magic.
Yeah.
Adam, do you have something cool?
I sure do. It's
not
funny.
Related?
It's funny that you mentioned world.
Okay.
Because I have been playing the World of Warcraft expansion.
Oh, what's it called again?
Battle for Azeroth. And you mentioned...
Oh, no.
You made the mistake of mentioning that you used to play.
Don't. I can't go back there, Adam.
I'm not asking you to go back.
Okay.
Because I would never ask that because it's a commitment.
Is it fun?
Yeah.
How much have you played it so far?
I've leveled to max level for my one character.
What
I'm
class?
A one character
what
person.
Class?
Warlock.
Warlock. Oh, yeah. I like that because I was
I played every expansion since vanilla. Like I've been a regular player.
Every single expansion.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
I was a hardcore raider from like top 50 US from Cataclysm to Mists of Pandaria.
Jeez.
And then I burned out, as you do.
As you
that's what it takes. To you have to play an insane amount.
Yeah.
And now I just play casually with friends.
It's just sort of like leveling up.
I level and I raid still, but it's just like once or twice a week, maybe, if I have time. I don't really have a lot. It turns out content creation eats up all your time.
Yeah, funny how that works.
So
what's max level now?
120.
Holy crap.
When is the last time you played?
I think it was Wrath of the Lich King.
So 80.
So it was 80, yeah.
Yeah.
Except I had a full list of 80 level 80 characters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I played a lot too.
I only ever have one max level character.
Oh, no.
That's all
I have
handle.
It, literally every class I've got, I had to max level at that point, but that was 40 levels.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. That actually tempers my desire to play again because I'm like 40 levels, nothing.
Well, okay, so
don't. Oh, here we go. I know what you're gonna say.
Josh mentioned a couple things to me, and I really wanted to bring them up on the podcast because I think it's hilarious.
Here we go.
First of all, what did you play before World of Warcraft, Josh?
EverQuest.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Josh loves EverQuest, man.
Dude, EverQuest awesome. Was the best game that's video
full
game.
Stop. He's like, full stop.
Yeah. It's definitely the best MMO that's ever been created. There were problems with it, but yeah.
Is that nostalgia speaking, though?
No, it's just because it was. You like hard games.
Yeah.
You like hard mode.
Yeah. From everything you've told me, I'm like,
EverQuest was the hardest game ever. It was so punishing.
Can you tell me the story that you told me today?
Which one is that?
The gold, the copper story. Please, because I think it's the best thing ever.
This is supposed to be your instep. Okay.
I know, it doesn't matter.
Okay, so I played on a PvP server in EverQuest.
Yeah.
It was, it's hard to go into it. EverQuest was very punishing. So at various points in the game, especially when it first started, PvP was totally open-ended. Like, if I killed another player, I could take everything on that player, all their items.
Yeah.
And they lost XP when they died.
That's so
sorry to swear, but we can beat that out. It's fine.
Okay, that sucks, dude. Like, are you kidding me?
Well, in EverQuest, as long as I played it, you would lose XP if you died to mobs, but not to other players. After a while, they learned, like, oh, that's not very fun.
Yeah.
And then after a while, they made it so you couldn't loot items off of other players.
Yeah.
You could only loot the whatever money they had on them. And so in EverQuest, there was three different kinds of sort of currency. It was copper, silver, gold, and platinum. And each character had a weight limit of what they could hold. Depending on the class and the race, you could carry more or less stuff. Like if you're a dark elf, you can't carry very much. And if you're an ogre, you can carry a lot.
Yeah.
And so this is a PvP server, but it was team PvP. So the people, like if you were a gnome, other gnomes couldn't attack each other, but you could attack, again, dark elves or something. So we would do this little gambit. We had a little ambush that we used to play, which is we would get one character. It's like a high level character, but not max level. Yeah. We would make one juicy target.
Yeah.
And it would be one of the speed classes, like a bard or a druid, somebody that could make themselves run faster. And they would, the way that the PvP server ended up sort of breaking down is that there would be zones that would be controlled by specific teams, we called them, but it was like the dark, you know, the sort of quote-unquote evil races would have like near their zones and their homes, they would have control of it. And if you went in there, you could expect there's a lot of enemy PvPers that were going to try and kill you. And we had our territories. So we'd go to sort of one of the contested zones or near to their zone, and we'd send one person across into the zone. But we'd all be speaking on Ventrilo, which is the team speak of the time.
Our old man is speaking.
Right now. Exactly. So the 10 of us or so would sit outside the zone.
Yeah.
And one would go in. And he would go and get the attention of some of the other players in the zone until they were chasing that player. And then they would proceed to lead the other player, the Dark Elves or whatever, back towards the zone entrance. And then we had like the specific zone and we knew the timing so that over Ventrilo would be like, I'm at the tree, zone. And so when they get to the, you know, a certain point, half of the players, so we've got 10 or so with us, five zone across and five stay on the other side so that if the Dark Elf runs across the zone line, they run right into our team.
Yeah.
And so the five zone in, and then the person who was the juicy target is actually supposed to die at this point. So they get caught, they allow themselves to get caught and die. And the Dark Elf, or the couple of Dark Elves or whatever, there's usually like, say, usually you get like three or four following you, and goes and loots the corpse.
Yeah.
Picks up all the copper that the person had on them. So the juicy target was loaded up with as many copper coins as they could carry that would not slow them down. So it was like, you'd find out their slowdown point, and then you drop one copper, and now you're at like full speed. And so when the Dark Elf goes,
so smart. It's like the most genius thing I've ever heard.
So when the Dark Elf goes to loot the money, because you just click them, and then you just it goes ching, and you just get all the money they have on them, which happens to be 2,038 copper.
Then they see how you know the exact number.
Well, no, I just made that up. Yeah, okay. But it was around that. It was a lot.
Yeah.
But then they look up and they see all the five of us bearing down on them, and they're like, "Oh crap!" And they turn to run, but they're weighed down by the copper, so they can't run away.
Oh man! And
they're frantically trying to drop it, and the fireballs are already in the air.
Yeah,
yeah, and they just get burned out. That was our smart ambush technique.
God, that's the best. Oh my God. I'll give a quick story just because I'll even out the okay. like.
Yeah.
So I have a really, my most embarrassing MMO story.
I told you this one. Oh, this is pretty bad.
So Adam Savadan, he is a, it's Wrath of the Lich King, so Josh can relate. And it's the next Rahmus raid.
Yep.
And that's the only raid that's out at the moment that was available.
That was the top tier raid.
That was the top tier raid at the moment. There was going to be a new patch incoming, but there was an achievement you could get out of Noxramas, 25-player raid.
It was only available, though, until the next patch came out.
Yeah.
Because they were going to basically buff characters and make it too easy to make the achievement. So this was the last time. Because
gear levels would go up, and then it would be easier to go back and get this achievement. And the achievement was nobody in your raid dies for the entire clear of the raid to the end boss.
What was it called?
Immortal.
Okay.
And you got a title for it, which was a big deal. Sorry.
Yeah. That's okay.
Yeah. So this was a big deal. This is when titles were like, you would show, like when you saw somebody with the immortal title, you're like, wow, they're a big deal. So for whatever reason, don't ask me, but World of Warcraft was popular.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
People thought this way.
It still is popular.
Still is popular. And the week before we were on Kel'Thuzad, which is the last boss, and someone died. And I was an app at this guild at the moment.
Which means you're like a...
I was like a trainee. I was an intern.
You're a pledge.
Yeah, I'm a pledge. Yeah. I'm brand new to this guild. My first week was actually that last week. And I didn't screw up. So I was like, we did it. I didn't die. I mean, everyone's
mad. It's
not my
fault.
Yeah, it's not my fault. Whatever. Don't look at the new guy. And so the next week comes. And I'm like, all right, I'm ready for this.
This is the last week before the match?
Yeah, the last week before the last chance that my guild, any guild can do this. And my guild really wants to do this. And I even remember the name of the guild. I wonder if, I could probably shout it out. It was actually a Penny Arcade guild.
Oh, what's it called?
It was called Fear Engine.
Okay.
If anybody's listening and you were in Fear Engine.
Penny Arcade is our fulfillment company for like our playmats and stuff.
Oh, really?
So,
yeah. So PA on Dark Iron Alliance had a bunch of guilds because Tycho or somebody started playing. And everyone's like, everyone's coming. So I joined. Fear Engine on Dark Iron Alliance. We go into Noxramas and we get to Thaddeus. And Thaddeus is a boss that makes the raid switch sides depending on a buff they get or a debuff for positive and negative charges. And if you're a negative charge and you stand with the positive charge people, you kill yourself and everyone around you.
It kind of like puts a symbol near you, but there's a ton of people, so it's hard to figure out. So you're constantly paying attention and it switches and you're like, oh crap, I got to run over here.
So I died on Thaddeus.
You got mixed up in
I got mixed up with the charges and I screwed it up because my DBM, my deadly boss, there's a mod that kind of helped you out with this stuff, and that mod for some reason didn't load when I walked into the instance, and I didn't notice. I'd done like four bosses and I just didn't notice it hadn't loaded in.
Well, you need it for that one.
And you need it for that one if you're an idiot like me and you need someone to hold your hand. So I died on Thaddeus, and it was the quietest raid I've ever been a part of from that point on. Everyone just went silent, and I never showed my face there ever again.
That was it?
That was it, man. I was like, all right, I messaged the officers. I paid them the due for screwing up because there was a predetermined.
Like 800 gold.
It was like 800 gold, which was a lot at the time. Yeah.
Well, for some people.
800 gold. For me, 800 gold, and it was like the highest capacity bag was on top of that. So you had to get them both. And I said, I'm sorry. And they were actually super chill about it. Like the officers, like everyone else in the raid was real mad. But the officers were like, you screwed up. That's okay. We'll move on. And that's it. But 23-year-old Adam or whatever I was like, at the time,
I'm
I was like,
I'm moving to another town and changing my name.
Pulled parachute, man. And I got out of there. I pulled the parachute and actually silverware came out. And I was like, oh, no, I'm dead. Yeah. So, and this was at a time before Crossrealm. So people knew your name.
Yeah.
And I was really worried that word would get out
there. And they would just trash you, but they didn't.
What was my character's name?
Do you ever run into any people from Penny Arcade?
No, I don't.
Because we're near that world. Like,
oh, like the PA people? Yeah, but I don't think anybody from
actually knew your real name.
This was like a splinter guild of Penny. This was like the hardcore raiding part of the Penny Arcade guild faction kind of thing.
So it wasn't like everybody worked at Penny Arcade.
Yeah,
like
friends. Yeah, or
six
just
degrees
community
of Kevin
members.
Bacon.
Not even community, like just community members.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, just fans.
Okay.
That's all.
Gotcha.
But that's my most embarrassing WoW story.
It's pretty good.
I screwed up.
That's pretty good.
I've had weapons break during like heroic pulls. Like my weapon breaks and I'm too embarrassed to say anything.
So do you have a backup?
Nope. This was during Cataclysm. Yeah. We were doing a heroic boss, which was the highest tier level, and my weapon broke.
So what you do?
Didn't say a word. Just let it ride, man. And people were like,
no
one notices.
Warlock.
No, I was a warrior at the time. my weapon broke. So like people, but like from pull to pull, no one's going to know it's one pull where you don't do any damage.
Right.
But on that one pull, someone's like, no, it was one pull because I repaired afterwards.
Oh, gotcha.
But that one pull, I do like, you know, I'm bottom of the damage where I'm usually near the top. And it's like humble brags, I guess. Yeah. I'm usually near the top. No big deal. But like, and then that one time that someone happened is like, what happened to your damage? I was like, I don't know, man.
That was weird.
I was pressing all my buttons. Game bugged out.
Just blame it on lag every time. Oh, I got really laggy.
I was like, the sun was in my eyes. I don't know what happened. Man, my controller broke.
You're making me want to play. Stop it. Stop talking about it. Something else I'm going to talk about that you should check out is our sister podcast, The Masters of Modern. Alex Kessler, Ben Bateman, they talk about the modern format and all things competitive Magic. You can find them on Twitter at the MMCast. And you find their show right next to us at collected.company. Also, they're beginning to do video versions of their podcast. So if you type Masters of Modern into the search bar on YouTube, you will find them. And then you can see them as you're watching them. They're not as good looking as us, but yeah. Or at least as Adam.
I don't know. That's a lie.
Ben's pretty good looking.
I think you're good looking, Josh.
Yeah. Okay. I don't wear a suit.
So you don't even wear a suit to be good looking.
I'm not good at taking compliments, Adam. Stop talking about it. All right.
All right.
Stop. Our editor is Josh Murphy. We call him Murph.
Yeah.
Drop it. We really do call him Murph.
Boom.
Hey, you can't say those words.
Yeah, sorry. You got me. I did not expect. Oh, jeez. Do you ever walk up to him like,
Terry is a huge RoboCop fan, so he mentions it quite often.
Oh, man, that's great.
Special thanks to Jeffrey Palmer for the living card animations that open and close all of our shows and are behind us on these windows. Jeffrey does awesome work. And Adam, one more time. How can everybody find you out there on the worldwide interwebs?
I have Twitter. It's at WakeUpSuper.
WakeUpSuper?
Yeah, it's a fighting game reference.
Yep.
And then I have a Twitch channel, which is twitch.tv/CBATS. Every morning, Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. till about 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
I am sometimes in there hanging out or lurking. Yeah. So, you know, if you want to come say hi to me also and watch Adam, of course.
And also, I would be mistaken to forget plugging Loading Ready Run, who give me the opportunities that I have. Like being here right now. So Loading Ready Run, you can find them at twitch.tv/loadingreadyrun. They do stuff every day as well.
Yep.
And we also do the pre-releases for Magic the Gathering. We do Friday nights, the show. They do a bunch of stuff.
A ton of stuff.
I can't even name
it
all.
Yeah, they've got a new show called Road Quest that they're working on.
Yeah, I've seen
a pilot for it. That's on their channel as well.
I'm working on editing it.
Yeah. Seems like a ton of work. It's like game night's level of undertaking. Yeah. So.
But we have a much bigger staff.
Humble break. Yeah, I wish I had a much
bigger staff. I didn't mean to sound like that. You do a lot for what you have. Like the undertaking of game nights, like now that...
Stupid is the word you're looking for. It's stupid.
Yeah.
I should have more people, but we don't. But, hopefully... The show turns out well. Game nights, I mean, with Adam on it. And by well, I mean I win.
Yeah.
You're too nice. You're supposed to talk trash.
Yeah. I'm like, man, I just hope we all have a good game and smile and be friends.
And that's why we invite Adam to come to game nights, everybody. Make sure you tune in for that. It's going to be coming out very soon. He will be playing this Azoni deck. Until then, thanks, everybody. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Peace.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter @JFWong and @JoshLeeKwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.